Good morning. Fanny J. Crosby wrote hundreds of hymns. The hymnal we use has 30 of her hymns. In 1880, Miss Crosby wrote a hymn that is widely used today. This powerful hymn has the title, Tell Me the Story of Jesus. The title of this beautiful hymn will serve as the basis of our lesson today. Please listen to the words of Fanny J. Crosby's hymn. Tell me the story of Jesus, write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Tell how the angels in chorus sang as they welcomed his birth. Glory to God in the highest, peace and good tidings on earth. Fasting alone in the desert, tell of the days that are past. How for our sins he was tempted, yet was triumphant at last. Tell of the years of his labor, tell of the sorrow he bore. He was despised and afflicted, homeless, rejected, and poor. Tell of the cross where they nailed him, writhing in anguish and pain. Tell of the grave where they laid him, tell how he liveth again. Love in that story so tender, clearer than ever I see. Stay, let me weep while you whisper, love paid the ransom for me. Do I have to tell you that Fanny J. Crosby was a serious Bible student? Her songs are filled with biblical messages. I'll not follow the outline of biblical truths contained in the song, Tell Me the Story of Jesus, although many of the truths Miss Crosby included in the song will be emphasized in our lesson. If we would tell the complete story of Jesus, we must begin with the great Old Testament prophecies concerning him. I have no intention of trying to be comprehensive in discussing those prophecies, but there are some that are spectacular in faith-building. For example, the one that has occasioned more controversy than almost any other is a prediction of his virgin birth. The great 8th century prophet Isaiah wrote concerning the coming of Christ, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel," Isaiah 7:14. Both Matthew and Luke, by divine inspiration, make us understand that Isaiah was speaking of Jesus, Matthew 1:23 and Luke 1:31. I'm fully aware that some radical theologians deny the virgin birth of Christ, but they deny it on the basis of liberal theology, not on the basis of the facts of the case. Isaiah also predicts concerning the Messiah, "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David, and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." Isaiah 9:6-7. Of whom, except Christ Jesus, could these names or titles be used? It is almost universally agreed among professing Christians that these words could apply to Christ and to him alone. We must emphasize these great truths when we tell the story of Jesus. Telling the story of Jesus must include discussing the great miracles he performed. Our Lord was not a magician, but a genuine miracle worker. Matthew writes concerning our Lord's supernatural work, "And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were afflicted with different diseases and torments, and those who were possessed with demons, and those who were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them." Matthew 4:23-24. The words lunatic and palsy should be rendered epileptics and paralytics, respectively. Christ performed dozens of miracles, including turning water into wine, healing the blind and the deaf, stilling the waters on the Sea of Galilee, walking on the water, and many others. But the most spectacular of Christ's miracles, in my judgment, was his raising of Lazarus. These miracles proved to honest seekers that Christ was what he claimed to be, God manifested in the flesh. So our Lord demonstrated his deity by his wonderful miracles. How can we tell the full story of Jesus without emphasizing his miracles? Yet that is precisely what many modernist and postmodernist preachers and professors attempt to do. Christ's miracles confirm his claims to deity, but they may not have influenced the world for good during the 2,000 years since he returned to the Father as his great teachings have done. The parables in the gospel records have been a great inspiration for countless millions of people in every nation and tribe on earth. I'll take time to mention just two of those beautiful parables, the story of the prodigal son and the story of the Good Samaritan. The expression, the Good Samaritan, has become a part of our very culture. although many people who use the term probably do not know its origin. Luke records that a man was traveling down from Jericho to Jerusalem, or from Jerusalem to Jericho, that is. Highwaymen stripped him, severely wounded him, and left him for dead. Two prominent religious leaders, a priest and a Levite, passed by the critically wounded man, but paid no attention to the man's needs. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him, and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when they had departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him. Whatsoever you spend more, when I come again, I'll repay you. Luke 10:30-36. Benevolent societies have been established all over the world because of the teaching of this great story. Incidentally, some scholars believe this story was an account of an actual incident. But whatever the case, it has inspired countless people for 2,000 years to be compassionate toward those who are hurting. Luke 15 tells the story of the prodigal son. Now, I'll not take time today to relate the entire parable, but I encourage you, if you've not read the story recently, to take time to read it carefully again. A certain man had 2 sons. The younger of the two asked his father to give him his inheritance. The father complied with his wishes. The younger son went into a far country and spent his inheritance on riotous living, that is, on wine, women, and song. He became so poor that he wanted to eat the food he was feeding the hogs. He may have had friends when he was generously spending on them, but they all deserted him. Luke says, And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and am no more worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired servants. Luke 15:11-19. This great parable reminds us of the tragedy of forsaking our Lord and turning to the world for fulfillment. The father of the wayward son saw his son coming back home and had compassion on him. Do you think there was ever a day that went by that the father did not go out and look across the fields to see if that son was coming back to his family? The son said to his father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no more worthy to be your son. The father would have none of that. He brought forth the best robe, put a ring on his hand, shoes on his feet. He had a fat calf killed to feed his son. That old father said, For this son was dead, and is alive again. He was lost and is found. Luke 15:24. Time will not allow a discussion of the elder son, but there is a great lesson in this parable. God wants those who have forsaken him to return to the fold. There is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents, more than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. Luke 15:7-10. When we tell the story of Jesus, must we not stress the great parables he taught? The popular media of our day, radio, television, and the press, often exalt Jesus as if he has always stressed the positive and never condemned the negative. Do you ever wonder if those people were talking about the same Jesus whose life and works are revealed in the Bible? Have they invented another Jesus? 2 Corinthians 11:4. If the Jesus of history were the Jesus many in our day accept, he would not have been abused and crucified. He would have been given the Nobel Peace Prize, had such a prize existed in his day. But his teaching and his life created great controversy, as such teaching and living almost always do. In the song I read a few moments ago, Fanny J. Crosby recorded these words, Tell the years of his labor, tell of the sorrow he bore. He was despised and afflicted, homeless, rejected, and poor. These words from the hymn remind us of Isaiah's prophecy of the coming Messiah. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgression. He was buried for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Isaiah 53:4-5, and verse 7. Philip the evangelist quoted those same words in Isaiah 53 and applied them to Jesus in Acts 8:32-33. The apostle Peter also applied the message of Isaiah 53 to Jesus in 1 Peter 2:21-25. Telling the story of Jesus demands that we talk about the persecution he endured and his death at the hands of his enemies. We must, friends, constantly emphasize that he suffered and died for our sins. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3. I must close for now, but next week we'll continue with the thought, Tell Me the Story of Jesus. Until next week, may God bless and keep you.